It's been 17 years since the fall of the Shah of Iran. When the revolution took place, the leaders of the Islamic Republic promised Iranians a bright future that has largely failed to materialize. Iran faces considerable challenges. It's still under an economic boycott imposed by the U.S. for Iran's support of international terrorism. And the country is still recovering from its 8-year war with Iraq. The government has figures showing that unemployment is down and that the country is running a big trade surplus. Still, many Iranians have grown nostalgic about the prosperity they enjoyed before the revolution. NPR's Suni Khalid reports.
This is the Kuzul Khala Cooperative in downtown Tehran, a large modern open-air food market built on the former site of one of the Shah of Iran's most infamous prisons for political dissidents. It's now a sort of farmer's market where ordinary Iranians come to buy their groceries, hoping to avoid ever-increasing inflation. Most of the shoppers here are women. All of them wear the hijab or headscarf in drab thin overcoats that are required by Iran's strict interpretation of Islamic law. Like women in most other countries, the shoppers walk up and down the wide aisles, stopping to squeeze stacked piles of fresh fruits and vegetables, haggling over prices while vendors hawk items like fresh melons. On the wall of almost every stall, there are portraits of a serious Ayatollah Khomeini, flanked by his smiling successor, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. They are the founders of Iran's Islamic Revolution, which, two decades later, remained strong in its religious faith, but weak in creating economic prosperity. Abdullah is a butcher here. With his large, powerful hands, he sharpens his knives and cleavers for another day of slicing beef, lamb, and chicken. But there are no customers lining up at his counter. He says fewer Iranians can afford to buy his meat nowadays.
If I can remember, we were selling 1 kilo of meat for 2,000 rials. Now we're selling it for 14,000 rials per kilo.
For Americans, that means a pound of meat has gone from 50 cents to about $3. The government has given cost of living increases to its workers, but it hasn't kept pace with inflation, now officially 52%. Abdullah says most Iranian families are worse off than before the revolution. He sees it from his declining sale of beef for shish kebab, a favorite Iranian dish. Many families can only eat meat once a week.
There are some particular people who can afford it. So they're still coming and buying shish kebab meat from me. But there are some poor people who have abgush, which is a traditional Iranian stew with meat. 2 or 3 years ago, that was for the poor classes. That used to be 1,500 rials per dish. Now it's 8,000 rials. So actually, they cannot have it the way they had it before.
In the government-controlled newspapers, articles regularly appear with figures pointing to a rebounding economy. There's little news critical of the government's handling of the economy. In recent weeks, government officials have trumpeted a $6 billion trade surplus and a balanced budget. Shelves in shops and supermarkets are filled. Rural poverty, the government says, has been cut in half since the 1979 revolution. That's quite an accomplishment for a country whose population has nearly doubled to 60 million since the fall of the Shah. But critics point out that many people have flocked to the cities, and that's the main reason why the number of poor people in the countryside has dropped. Still, the government says the unemployment rate dropped this year from 15 to 10%. The only trouble is that these statistics have little meaning for many Iranians.
I don't think that most Iranians believe such figures. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Sadiq is a chubby 40-year-old cab driver with an easy smile and a head full of salt and pepper hair. Like many Iranians, driving a cab is his second job. Sadiq draws $100 a month salary as a government worker, but he only goes to the office after spending the morning and early afternoon cruising Tehran's many wide tree-lined avenues for fares. The competition for passengers is fierce. It is estimated that about half of the taxis on the street of Tehran are unofficial or illegal cabs, Iranians hustling fares in their private cars like Sadiq, and more join the overcrowded ranks every day. Most days, Sadiq says he earns between $5 or $6, which only buys a pound of meat and some vegetables. But with a wife and two children to raise, he can't afford to quit unless he can find another job that pays more.
I can't recall anything which is cheap. Everything, even spare parts for the car, are higher than they were in the past. What I make as a cab driver, I often have to spend on spare parts. And food for the family, even chicken, is also getting more expensive. I think in general, life has gotten tougher.
Sadiq was a teenager when the revolution swept the Shah from power. He says he doesn't remember much about that time. That's when Iranian oil exports to the United States and elsewhere fueled the strongest economy in the region. That was before the damage of Iran's 8-year war with Iraq and U.S. economic sanctions, which have cost Iran billions of dollars in foreign investment. Sadiq has teenagers of his own now, including a daughter who plans to get married next year. He's worried about the economic prospects she and her family will face.
I think the younger generation is worried very much. If a young couple wants to get married now, it's difficult. They cannot buy a car, they cannot rent a place, they cannot have a sufficient salary to survive. And on the other hand, the parents of a girl, like me, has to, you know, provide essential items for the bride, like a refrigerator. A new one costs about $500. So the both of them, both families, face a dead end.
That economic dead end many Iranians face is a harsh reality, but so too is high-level government corruption, which is also starting to grab headlines. Early this spring, the director of the government agency disposing of the Shah's assets was convicted of accepting millions of dollars in bribes. He was sentenced to death. Another official was given life imprisonment for his involvement in the same scam. Few Iranians, however, applaud the government efforts, since many feel that the current economic situation forces many people to do illegal things every day, such as trading Iranian rials for a viable hard currency, like German marks or American dollars. Abbas, a middle-aged American-trained civil engineer, has his own ideas about who is responsible for the poor state of the economy.
I don't think it's because of the American economic boycott or the government. I think it's just people's expectations, which have to be corrected. What they have in mind and what the reality is here in Iran just doesn't match. So they have to adjust their expectations and their dreams.
Before the revolution, he made about $4,500 a month, about 10 times what he earns now. He bought a large apartment in downtown Tehran. He could afford to take his wife and two children on vacations. Now he's moving into a smaller apartment. He says he has to borrow money from in-laws just to support his family. That's a situation many Iranians share. Abbas says the economic situation is putting increasing social strains on families, especially Iranian wives and mothers.
Iranian women are very decent and self-sacrificing, but it's only natural that economic hardships are having an impact. When a man, like me, goes home empty-handed, sometimes he doesn't have the temper to communicate with his family. I know a lot of people are getting divorced in my neighborhood and in my family. We've looked deeply into the reasons for all the divorces. And most of the time, they started over arguments because of the lack of money.
Abbas said this kind of tension is felt throughout Iranian society.
Yes, our life is getting tougher, and I am nervous about the future. What we, as Iranians, have really lost is the way we felt about ourselves, the way the world used to respect us. My national pride has been damaged. The feeling that I had before as an Iranian, my identity and my pride and nationality, that has been damaged.
The Iranian revolution may have succeeded in establishing a state based on Islam, but its future may well depend on whether it can help provide the kind of prosperity its people have waited for the last 17 years. I'm Suni Khalid, reporting.